Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
I'm really not very familiar with these, but it looks like your standard NFBC league, except it's a 12. Right? So I'm pretty sure all of the regular NFBC rules apply, except it's a 12, which again, I guess the question at the center is, and how would that affect it for me, even without a lot of experience? I think the first place I'd be thinking about is outfield. Because I know, right, NFBC, also one of the major differences, everyone, it's a 5 outfielder league. So right off the bat, that puts a lot of stress on it. You really can't wait to get your first outfielder into the double-digit rounds like you might in a CBS league, where you say, I want to just kind of rack up some guys at the end, maybe some young talent. You can't really do that. In the 12s, you could probably wait a touch longer because you will see this also bleeds into, if we get the best ball underdog in particular, where you see certain positions get pushed up, that creates this like overcorrection. And then the entire world is on these things. In NFBC, we see it happen with closers in 15 team leagues, like you mentioned, Chris. So I'll be seeing 12 team league. I like the price point. So it's nice and fair and standalone league, right? Or they have an overall.
So they have an overall. So check this out. The overall is 3 prizes. The number one overall in NFBC 50 is a main event entry. So if you win the overall, you get the main event entry, which is nice. Number two is they call it the solo shot entry. And number three is a RotoWire online qualifier entry. So it's not much. There's really not that much on overall, but like the best NFBC 50 roster will win a main event entry.
But
which
I would
is,
just
you know,
be playing to win the standalone league, I think. I think if you happen to dominate your league and it gets you the overall, I think you should. But given there's, see, that's what I mean. I didn't know that. That's a new wrinkle. Given there's so few overall prizes, focus on winning your own league, which again means what, people? You can be lopsided. One thing you learn in NFBC, especially with overalls, you can't punt categories. You're not going to be an overall winner if you don't have any steals or if you don't have any saves. You can win standalone leagues punting one category for sure. Something else you might want to think about. For me, in my experience, guy, it's not my style. I like to be balanced. But for me, it's batting average, believe it or not. Give me the roto juice. Give me the steals. Give me the homers. Those are hard to replace. Batting average is kind of variant in the first place. It's very hard to nail down. So just another tip for you.
Okay, so let me ask you a thing real quick. Maybe this is the way we end out this. Do you think NFBC 50s are good in the respect that it trains you for the next level? Or are NFBC 50s really just a low dollar platform for them to get people into play that'll eventually have them go? Like I'm getting at is, do you think this 50 format really does train you to take your next steps? Or is it really just to get people in the door? So they're like, I want to do something else cool.
Well, I would not recommend it as a gateway to 15 teams, though. The site, man, it's just a unique site. It's not hard to use. The interface is good, especially when you get to know it. So I think from the site's point of view, you know, they need to replicate other sites' formats to bring people in so they feel that level of familiarity. Because I'll tell you, as somebody that's kind of OCD'd, man, I tanked an entire Tout War season because I couldn't use on Roto. Like I couldn't, dude, I'm incredibly smart. And there were times you'd say, are you sure you're capable of living like a human life? Like you tie your shoes and cross the street. Dude, it's true. I could be remarkably stupid at points. And my sometimes compulsion gets in the way and I just throw my hands up and I get aggravated. And I know that stands in people's way. When you go to draft on a platform you're not familiar with, I don't know where the draft button is. I don't know where the queue is. So I get it. If you're kind of intimidated by the site and the money aspect, yeah, go play 12s.
But it's okay. Yeah. So you're being nice here. It's not a training platform.
It's not a community college. It's not a feeder school.
No, it is their way.
It's not going to get you to the main event.
It is their way to sell to people. Hey, we do have a cool way for you to say you're playing NFBC cheaper. But it is not. Yes. It's not a bridge to the next platform. So then let's do this.
Might get, might get people in once that kind of itch starts.
No, that's what I'm saying. It is.
It's in fantasy leagues.
This is the cheap way to play it, but it's not. Where draft champions can be the step to playing in a main event.
Oh, absolutely.
This is not, these are different bridges. So then here's what we're going to do.
Yes.
Boggs, do you have any other questions on NFBC?
I do just have one question here. How are you organizing your KDS for a 12-team league, John?
Well,
are you
doing my rankings right now, which involves detailed write-ups as far in. I know I'm going to 100 players. I try and get to 200. It'll probably land at 150. But it gives me a very kind of unique perspective on the early players, which, believe it or not, even as analysts, sometimes we just kind of look past. He's great.
We do. We take him for granted.
Harold is great. Yeah. Who cares? Who do you take? And a lot of analysts say, I take the guy whoever falls. I'll take whoever falls. But to know and understand the first three or four rounds, right, because especially in 15 teams, man, listen, Acuna is awesome. There hasn't been a better, single player to have maybe ever. But having to wait until player 31 and 32 to add on to him, it can be very difficult. And you want to know where that goes. So, man, you want number one. One is one. Because if you pull Acuna, you deal with the rest of it later on. If not, I think I like the back end guys. Like the very back end. Because we're
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Talking about guys, it's unbelievable.
You're like 1-12, 11-10.
Even still, this is the first year where 11 free is not a dead zone. Dude, Jose Ramirez, Bryce Harper. These are guys that could finish as the 1.01. Again, I think Acuna is kind of separated himself. But regardless, you know what I'm saying? Once they missed a few games or whatever. The picking is good. The eating is good at the back of the first half.
That's what that is 12. Yeah. That is 12 versus 15, or is it both applied?
Well, I was thinking in terms of 15, but also in 12s. Absolutely. Also in 12s. Because you're always going to have that drop off around, let's call it 20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
You know what I mean? Maybe you get to 22, depending on your personal preferences. Generally, by the time you get back to the first pick again, you're not really excited. You're making some kind of concessions. Again, always thinking about, man, how bare will the cupboards be plucked? you know, then 12 is a little bit easier. But again, hopefully you're saying to yourself, all right, well, I know 12 teams. There are 14 catchers that I like, so I'm not going to take a catcher. Forget that. You know, there's a couple of starting pitchers maybe I like at the very, 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 very end. Again, Welsh, if you're playing draft champions and you're drifting 50 rounds, you do a regular draft. You go, wow, I didn't get half the guys I want. So opening up your mind to the back of the player pool will definitely improve the decisions you make early on, even in shallow leagues.
Okay, so we're going to let's dig into draft champions. I think this is the real place to start. And let's do the crux of it first. Break down the, you kind of already, everybody kind of roughly knows the format, but talk to us about an overarching draft champ. We're going to ask you some specifics about, you know, don't get into saves and stolen bases.
Right, no,
we're
going to
talk about
you.
That, but overarching in how these formats work and the overall. So just give us your little thesis real quick on draft champ.
Need to know is pretty quick. Right, it's 15 teams, it's 5x5 roto. So again, it's a great pathway into regular redraft leagues. That said, the main differentiator is it's a draft and hold, which means what you get is what you got, and there is no player availability, meaning there are no drops, there are no ads, there are no waivers, there's no fab, there's no trading. There's also no IL, but you draft 50 rounds for 23 starters. Which again allows you a backup at every single position. How you chop it up is up to you. And again, how to find any kind of impactful production once you get past, let's call it pick 550, can be very difficult. At that point, you're really speculating mostly.
Taking shots.
Right. There might be, you know, I find this is where the betting thing really helps. Bog, for you, the DFS thing probably helps a little bit. You get familiar with ancillary players, guys that produce when they play, but they don't play a lot. You might see the name and go, oh,
Blitz guys, pinch hitters, IL.
Yeah, villains. Stone Garretts, yeah. The Stone Garretts of the league. Guys that we
just
know
maybe up have Stone some, Garrett. Yeah,
I love Stone. He's got to, right. We've seen some freakish talent, but he's got a flawed profile. There's some pedigree there. He's on a bad team. So
gonna have at bat.
Be
so.
A pathway. It yeah. hasn't developed yet. But again, this guy's available. Pick 550 and you say it could work. So it's really about just a deep kind of plan. Having to back up all your positions. And then last thing is the boost. I think one of them, again, you said not say saves, is positional eligibility, right? If you're in a draft where you get everything at once, positional eligibility when you can't add players is very hard to overstate. It's really great. I mean, got Zach McKinstry, bro. You know what I mean? You get guys.
I was just about to mention it.
You just get guys that have this wild eligibility. Yeah. It's wild. He's got second, short, third, and outfield. There's going to be, and remember, it's not always a full week. Sometimes it's just Monday through Thursday or Friday through Sunday. He's heading to Coors. He's heading to Cincinnati. He's got a pathway where he's leading off for 3 or 4 games. And you go, wow, a guy that I drafted in the 46th round just had a great weekend for me, which sounds stupid. But when it comes down to the standings, and this you guys could speak to because you have such experience, you can't believe after 5,000 games being played in 300 days or whatever, that it comes down to one steal and two homers, right? It's unbelievable.
It always does, too.
Yeah, always. Oh, always. Always. Yeah, I've had leagues end on the Sunday night game in the last inning, my closer versus hitter. And you go, how could this be? This started in April. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. Let's talk about the actual the player pool here. Boggs, you and I can go back and forth because I think there's two big ones that jump out. Let's talk about saves first. And Roto is Roto, so it speaks to itself. But save runs are pretty big in NFBC. So my question is your approach to closers in draft champions and following runs that happen, because runs can be pretty intense in a DC. So this is how you're valuing closers in draft champions.
Value them very highly. But at the same time, and this is not my skill, so that's why I emphasize valuing them so highly. I'm not good at speculating. I have not been good. I don't really understand how to be good at it. You know, I try. But to me, the pick is the commodity. Okay? So the pick is the currency in which we deal. It's a finite commodity at that. If there are 50 picks, each pick represents 2% of your roster. I don't want to spend 4 or 5 picks, 8 to 10% of my roster on literal like zeros, almost like things that you're expecting to be zeros throughout. So for me, the best way to do that is to prioritize sieves. And I think that becomes part of the KDS plan that you mentioned earlier. If you're unfamiliar, people, it's Kentucky Derby style. You get to choose how you want to draft. And then the first person doesn't get the first slot. The first person gets their first choice. And then it goes all the way down the line. So, yeah, I mean, generally the beginning is prioritized. But you will find sometimes, this generally happens at the back end in 15 teamers. If you draft on a turn, you're not taking a closer. It's 15, 16. It's too early. But by the time it comes back, sometimes the really great guys are gone. So you say, all right, I don't want the B-level guys. Then that next 30 pick wrap, the next tier of guys is gone. And now you may be drawing dead. I hate to tell you, but you really might be drawing dead because you got to get yourself to, in what, 40 or 50 seeds. You got to get there, right? You really got to get there if you want to win.
Do you prefer, like, four saves, John, do you prefer to be in the middle?
Yes.
Not, obviously not overall, but just for that specific
order. I like the extremes or the dead center. Like, my priorities are generally 1, 15, 8. Okay. First choice, give me what's left, or sometimes in the middle.
Is 8, is it all because of closers? Is that why you
It's because things fall.
Okay.
Because it's being because in the middle allows you to take advantage of, like, the projections, the predictions that the people on the end are making, right? People on the end have to draft outside of ADP. They have to, right? Plus they
have
to
set the tone because you have to wait so long. So a lot of the times what I like to do if I'm on the end is just double tap closers and go, all right, now I got two elite ones and I'm done.
But is that something you're comfortable doing? Because you were just mentioning that.
Doubling is very difficult.
Okay, but that's what I haven't been doing.
You have to thread the needle.
In my two NFBCs, I've taken one guy that I think is a core, or my draft champions that I've done. I've only done two so far. And I have done one upper-ish closer that I think is going to lock in. And then I've speculated a lot. And I actually think there's a lot of save speculation in a 50-team draft and hold. I think you can use some of those bench spots on some great speculative ads where you can find saves. So do you find yourself going, I want one high to middle tier core closer and then speculate? Or do you want two closers in a DC that you don't even have to think about that? And that's essentially telling you are investing in, let's just arguably say, Class A and Kenley Jansen, or Class A and Duvall, or is it like, give me Hader and then just go way on the back end of like Carlos Estevez and stuff like that?
Well, I definitely want a 1A. That's for sure. And again, there's generally like five or six guys. And to me, there's no such thing as reaching in a draft champions. Because if one player can get you 35 saves with ratios, right? We could be 75 or 80 strikeouts plus good ratios. You're doing really good. You're ahead of the game almost no matter where you take them, if you can get the result. Last year, what has happened? I was the guy. I couldn't come up with that second round pick. We mentioned the cliff outside of the top 20. I feel like I identified the cliff. I didn't know where I wanted to go. So I went all in on Edwin Diaz. Every single team, Edwin Diaz. He didn't make it to opening day. And those teams are dead. Because I had, and it's really, there's 100 ways to skin a cat without scratching its arsehole, as my grandfather used to say. But he kind of,
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A certain amount of capital to put towards these things. And I think that's the most important thing is, remember, not all picks are created equal. So if I take two picks within the first, if I go round 3 and round 8, that's the equivalent of you going, 6, 14, 19, 29, and 35, let's say.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Even though you went more, I'd rather have it concentrated because I don't like the zeros. And I think we we could talk about this later in a little bit, even if you want. I think I've been pretty good at identifying innings pitched for the next year. It's not some crazy model or anything. It just, you kind of can box score watch this stuff. And so I think with pitcher injuries, I think that's where you can find production in the late picks. It's very hard in the bullpens. It's funny how you mentioned, Chris, you mentioned Kenley Jansen. And this will be the last thing is, part of my calculus, and I know this pisses off some DC players, is handcuffing, which I believe in, because I just want the team saves. But it has to be a good pitcher, right? That's what that's another good lesson is. Don't pick bad players. Bad players don't get run, right? Even if they're on the roster resource chart. But somebody like Kenley Jansen, yo, Chris Martin was so good for them last year as a closer. He was so good. I know, because he got me across the finish line in a few leagues. And he's really cheap. So if you can build it well, Kenley's like a legit closer. He's got the pedigree. He's going to get the rock. He's been a little on the frail side. We know if he goes down, you have that kind of late guy. To me, that's a great draft plan. Hader is nice, too. We don't know exactly where he's going to go yet, right? I got myself into trouble. Here's a good one. I drafted Devin Williams. Didn't know where to go after that, because I'm not really sure where that bullpen is going to go. Now do you have to reach for, like, Piamps? That's a guy that might not really do it for you. So not that my plan is the best or the worst, but just have a plan. If you think that you're going to be good at finding bullpen specs, take one. I think one major guy at the top is a foundational piece, and then the rest you could figure out. Unfortunately, Welshie, I've been the Estevez guy, because I don't believe in myself back then that I'm like, all right, this guy's going to get saves, I hope. And then you draft him, but I know that I'm vulnerable there.
How about stolen bases, John? Have stolen bases become an arms race like power is, where it hurts to take a guy that does nothing there? Are they going to be cheaper because we saw the explosion of them last year with the new rule changes, and guys are still getting used to that and teams are still learning how to take advantage of that and all that stuff? How are you kind of planning for stolen bases?
I think your analogy is right on the money. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the power spike that we got in 2019. And all of a sudden, she's like, well, there's power everywhere, so you can kind of find it, but not necessarily the case, because you have to keep up the arms race, like you said.
Yeah.
So my answer has been, it's not that you can't have a zero. I would not, you know, stack zeros. I don't think that's a good idea. But I think another part of the plan, you need one guy that can rip the top off, right? So even throughout the power arms race, you still wanted Schwarber. You wanted a Jordan Alvarez. You wanted an Aaron Judge. Because you want to have one guy that could really make the run. And be like, if the whole field moves up, there are still going to be a few guys that really have the ability to pace. And you want to have one of those guys so you don't get totally dusted. Other than that, it's kind of business as usual. I tend to like balanced players, right? Because also, draft champions, you can't add. So I don't want to lose a player that I'm so tied to, right? Like Frodo to the ring. I was just watching. You got to be careful with that, right? When you chase a guy that he's... When one player is supposed to account for 75% of your steals, Edwin Diaz with saves, drawing dead. Right? If you lose it, you're drawing dead. So, you know, keeping options open, all that stuff. But yeah, saves and steals, I'm not going too crazy. You know what I mean? Saves, in fact, if anything, are kind of getting pushed back from last year. Maybe because, closers were healthy and kind of steady. Which
what is that?
Not sticky.
Let me ask you. So what does that look like? Like, here's an example. Are you saying you're less likely to be like, all right, I want, you know, Corbin Carroll, and I'm trying to think of another, let's just say just another like 25, 30 guy in that I'd rather have bigger power guys and 10, 15 stolen base guys, the Brian Reynolds of the world, because there are Tommy Edmonds of the world that are around 150 still there. And that's a 30 space. So is it about like the Tommy Edmonds that are floating, and even the Estory Ruiz is out of the top 100, than it is packing in a couple top-end elite guys?
Yep, Caballero. Although, again, if you're balanced and you like balance, leaning towards speed in the first round will never hurt you, right? Even if it's Tatis or, like you mentioned, Corbin Carroll or Trey Turner, guys that you know can get you 30, 35, 40. Carroll, who knows? You guys are Dimeac guys. I might be in love with him. I there isn't even a ceiling. There really isn't a ceiling. People crapped on you, Welsh, and a little less so me for believing in the power. It's there. It's not even fully developed yet. This kid is freaking awesome. But he's a perfect example of a guy that, dude, if he gets a 65 steals, one, I'm not surprised. Two, he makes up for the little blemishes along the way. But yeah. have a guy that can do it. To your point, Welsh, there's Caballeros back there. There's guys that are going to play and steal bases. Now, Nico Horner's going to steal bases. Even these guys that are going to get, like, man, 2025 is not nothing, and there are guys that are getting to that. So, yeah, I don't think you need to stress it. But if I can get him as part of that the total package in the early rounds, there's nothing wrong with that because you feel really at ease, right? I mentioned before having the late decisions guide those early decisions. The way when we don't want our early decisions to restrict our future decisions, right? In kind of the inverse.
Yeah, it's really interesting too. I mean, I'm in a draft champions right now. We're just about 150, and I'm just scrolling through some of the hitters. And you want to talk about 20 base stolen potential. I see Edmund. I see Marte. I see Ke'Bryan Hayes, Chaz McCormick, Trevor Story, Jaron Duran. I mean, there are.
Dude, Duran. That was like 25, 25, 27, 28, 41. Like, they're there.
Yeah, they are still there. It's just interesting that, like, the priority has moved a little bit because stolen base guys used to get moved up a lot. It's not quite as much where you're looking for big core hitters. All right, so then with DCs, I think those are the two big things. Obviously, catchers get moved up. It's a two-catcher league. I don't chase too much. And it's interesting, the first DC Bogman and I did together, catchers kind of went nuts. This one I'm doing right now, they're not. So it can kind of move around, and you can figure it out.
Here, right? I think this D2 class is pretty deep.
I do too.
You give me like a Camposano, I'm loving that, man.
Yeah, and you can do it. But what are some, I know this is a pretty broad question, but some core DC players that you're focused on this year? Maybe you've already mentioned a couple. You mentioned Caballero might be someone super late. It doesn't have to just be late guys, but if you could throw out, this also just might be just players that you like, but you're in a DC, couple core players that you're pretty focused on.
Okay, interesting, because one is actually a catcher. And he kind of checked all the boxes we mentioned. It's Yainer Diaz from the Astros. Right. So again, it is two catchers, and we know catchers can kind of stink, but we also, like fantasy football, have to understand any kind of separation from the position is worth that much more. Right. So, man, there's a ton to like here, and he could be like an easy C1, so if you're going to give me that lineup with that, power potential, I think that's a guy that could really pay the bills, at cost. I'm trying to look at a team I have right now because I put so much work into it now. Here's another good piece of advice. Some of these are slow drafts, people. Take the time. I'm so dumb. I used to rush to make my pick as if there's some prize for finishing first. Now, listen, don't milk the clock waiting for news. Those people are scum.
Oh, my God.
You should.
Take your time to make your
pick. Yeah, you know what I've been doing? And it's funny because this sounds so intuitive and I hadn't been doing it. Look at the four or five players you're considering. And if you use a spreadsheet, bring them all up next to each other and take an objective look at them. Just take a full glance. Sometimes I like to make my decision and then walk away without pressing draft and making sure that I don't have any kind of regrets or anything like that. So that kind of works. Let's see, the guys that I like, I'm into those lame players because they're all kind of late. It's the truth. I have Ty France on all my teams. Ty France is kind of legit, steady Eddie power hitter right in the middle of a, pretty good lineup. And I know it was a letdown season here. I have some of the cool stuff here.
I actually just want to point out also while you're doing that, spent this offseason a drive line. So if that could, drive line is our buzzword of anything, but is working on bat speed like a lot of these guys in loft. So that if you're looking for bounce backs, because he was an underperformer last year, you love to see that he has spent this offseason at drive line.
Yeah, well, again, people eye roll that stuff as if, yes, nothing is automatic. It's not like some panacea. One, that's a good chance of improving. And we want players that want to improve, right? That show initiative and stuff. Now, here's the France. So again, the surface stats, okay, bat 250, 79 runs, 58, 12 homers and a steal. The counting stats, not great. However, the disciplinary stuff is really good. 17.5% K is fantastic. 91.5% zone contact is fantastic. Better than 23% line drive. The thing that I'm looking at that I've added to my sheets, they'll be out pretty soon, hopefully by February 1st with my write-ups. I do ranks, and I'm going to put out my data sheets that people love so much. The thing that I've been isolating, not just myself, DPHOs into this stuff, we want to be isolating pull hitters. Now, this is something I did for the Athletic going into the last season. I'm telling you, when we started seeing the ball, they raised the seams, extra drag, fly balls not going out. The one way to kind of circumvent that, let's say, is pulling fly ball line drives. And there are players, that's a piece of their approach that doesn't always show up. Because again, this is not like pulled fly ball line drives will be on my sheet this year coming out, but they're not anywhere. I have to like run it and I have to like combine it and all this stuff. So check it out. Ty France popping off the page. He had 98 pulled fly ball line drives. He only had 7 home runs on those. The average is probably like 30% of those go out. His was at 7. 7. It's just not going to happen. 32 barrels and only 12 home runs. 33% home run to barrel ratio. That 33% is way short of the league average 60. So I'm just telling you, he doesn't even have to improve. If we just run back the season that everybody like flushed him down the toilet for, he's going to hit 22 home runs. In that poor iteration of a season, run back is 22 home runs. I think we're going to get the hitter that we've had beforehand. Again, in the middle of a really good lineup, that's a guy with
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We love because
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
It's funny, it's just looking for profits here and there. You know, I can't do the Ariel Cohen impression, but like if you just, you know, you got to find a dollar here and there. You know what I mean? You got to stack profits. These guys are super short, man. They understand what they're talking about, man. These guys will get action already. You know, you don't need to hit home runs. You just got to profit all your spots. But me knowing that nobody wants Ty France means that CI spot does not get filled. And you see, right, how those late decisions kind of form the earlier ones. So, like, there's a couple – I know it's super boring, right? But I think that's how you win these leagues.
You know, one last thing on this. I noticed in my first DC that I ran into, and maybe you have a guy or two that you can throw at people. As cool as SP gets, I noticed in the deeper rounds, I just didn't feel like I had the starting pitcher depth. Like, my core was fine. My core SPs were fine. But I do feel like how outfield depletes itself. Starting pitchers deplete themselves in a 15 team DC, especially when you get into the 30s and you're like, okay, cool, I got my rotation, but then you're looking for depth. People are stacking that up. I don't know if you have any comments on starting pitchers in DCs and maybe a guy or two that you're looking at that's a little bit deeper.
I'm trying to think of like really late, like late starters. Again, you know, you wish that it's like, man, the spreadsheet is just glaring and everything looks beautiful. Usually not the case, but there are some. So check it out. Here's one. He's going really late. I don't know. I have to like look it up. It's Chase Silseth on the Angels. So again, people are so accustomed to the Angels having a 6-man rotation. A piece of that had to do with some guy, Shohei Ohtani, whatever. That might not be the case this year, right? So one, it probably solidifies his rotation spot. And two, they may go 5-man, giving him open looks at the 2 start all the time. 3.89 ERA, a 1.19 whip. All the indicators are good. The Sierra is below 4. He had a 30% K rate with a walk rate only at 9. CSW, right? Nick Pollock, how you doing? 31%, 12.5 swing and strike, 28.5 whiff, 80 zone contact. Really kind of strong profile. I mean, some of the contact allowed is rough. I don't normally go nuts about that because Alex Chamberlain talks about this stuff all the time. It's really not like a sticky stat. But right there is a guy that has some really good stuff, man. 30, you get a 30% K rate. You know, whatever. I don't even know. Gosh, I have to like look. I have to like, well, he's pick ADP 435 right now. So that's a guy I'm going to have on pretty much every team. I think he's on pretty much every team. Yeah. Josiah Gray is probably another guy like that. Him is less in the things that we've seen, and I'm more like trying to go where the puck is going and not where it's been, because the places it's been are kind of yucky, but bad team. He's going to get the opportunity. They've shown they want to stick with him. And he's like a super high pedigree guy, right? I mean, when the Dodgers had Josiah Gray a couple of years ago, he's one of the, you know, elite kind of prospects. How soon do we want to like throw these guys away? You know, maybe it's just not all bad. You know, the fastball leaves a bit to be desired, but he's pretty good at suppressing hard contact because he works up in the zone, forces a lot of pop-ups. An adjustment here or there, Josiah Gray could be excellent. You know, so I think that's where we're looking for. Well, it's probably opportunity first, and then like a little bit of skill. Maybe Tanner Houck fills that also. Tanner Houck's probably a little even better because there you have like the really elevated ground ball rate, right? 53% ground ball rate with a 13% swing and strike, 29 CSW. If you have a 29 CSW and a plus 50% ground ball rate, they're pretty damn good inputs. Again, pick 500 or whatever. So that's my answer, is to have a plan. That's funny how now talking to you, like, I feel confident. I like the guys there. I've been leaving my SP kind of 8, 9, 10, 11 open for guys of that ilk.
Yeah, I just think it's something for everybody to sit on that I just noticed where, you know, the ADPs might be like, oh, look, here's Reed Detmers at 250 and Shoto Amanaga. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you get down into it, into the 300s, people have already, they're starting to pull, and all of a sudden, you know, you might have a Silseth sitting there where there's a lot of other relief pitchers. So just something to sit on for SPs. Some good stuff on draft champions overall. Let's talk about the NFC best ball championships. And how about thesis on the NFBC best balls, maybe how they might even, if at all, differ from best balls people are going to go play on. Underdog is kind of a whole nother thing, but you know, from Underdog to Fantrax and stuff, but where it differs and the overarching strategy. And I think Bogman has some best ball questions on it.
I hope Derek and Tom are not sponsored this one, because like, I don't like the format. I'm sorry. I don't like
of
it.
What?
The best ball format. I don't like.
Oh, on NFBC.
Yeah. I don't like it. Again, if people should be aware, I'm not, and again, me and Derek talk all the time. I love these guys. You know, I might offer to like
you can love them and not like something. They
Make. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I play them. They love my money. It's great. But like for me, best ball one we like because you don't set. Again, this is a no setting lineups. But where draft champions, we didn't mention this. You set your lineup weekly. Best ball is computer animated for the optimal lineup that you have. Now I love the format. I'm a best ball guy all the way because I don't want to spend time setting lineups. So I love the idea of investing my money in best ball, staying sharp, learning the player pool. But I'm sorry, to NFBC, just so people understand, coming from a points background, which I mentioned, maybe it's me being stubborn. That's how I like to play, where outcomes have point values. One, a hit, a base is worth a point. A hit is worth a point. A strikeout is a point. Where, and again, Zola is super smart. I'm not pushing up against that. But NFBC had Zola use Roto to create a point league. Like that's what it is. It's like a proprietary scoring system, right? So right off the bat, I'm always just a little turned off when I see a double is like 8 points or something. And I'm like, oh no, how the hell am I supposed to figure this out? You know what I mean? So it doesn't make it bad. It's just different than what I'm used to. I'm used to coming from CBS scoring. I prefer Underdog style, you know, single point for this, point for that. Although I do have, if you have best ball strategy questions, I do play and I'm into it. But like, yeah, there's my biggest thing is positional eligibility, because I did play last year. I wasn't very good at it, though some of it caught me by surprise. Again, the scoring system, I wasn't.
Let me throw that scoring system at you.
Yeah.
So for hitting, I'm on the NFC best ball championship. Big prize, blah, blah, blah. At bats, -1. Hits are worth 4. That's probably where you're coming from. That probably jumps out. Runs are worth 2. Homers are worth 6. RBIs are worth 2. And stolen bases are 5. Where in your mind is
that's
that?
That was what the big one was. They had Todd try and smooth out the value of stolen bases. I forget. That was the main point. That was like one of the cruxes of the whole idea was okay. Steals. It's funny. I don't think we need to bring steals up for best ball. I think they're too valuable in Roto in the first place. So it's for me, it's like a breath of fresh air to not to say discount them, but there were 2 points in regular point leagues. 5, you said a home run is 6 and stolen base is 5. To me, that's, I don't like that. For me, point leagues generally reflected on base because you get points for walks. And I always felt that was, I thought it made me a better fantasy analyst because it helped me to focus on things that I think more fairly or properly reflect the real world, which is not saying no one cares about steals, but if you have 100 on base percentage, no one cares if you're stealing 40 bases the 40 times you get on. Where on base is a skill, you know, getting on base is a skill, taking pitches, contact and stuff helped me understand hitting more. So, man,
you're taking a shot at Esteri Ruiz there is what you're doing. Pitching 3 points per innings pitched. three innings pitched, 1 point for a strikeout, 6 points for a win, 8 points for a save. You get negative points for hits. You get one negative point for a hit allowed, two for earned run, and one for a walk. So,
well, the idea of heavy negatives is something people need to probably keep in mind because, you know, I wish I had the numbers. I don't know. I guess I could run them. It felt like last year, managers were just willing to, like, guys, get eviscerated. Braxton Garrett sticks out in my mind that I think he gave up 13 earned runs in the start. It was at least 11. And I always said, like, five is that first, like, Then eight was usually, dude, come on. You get him out of there. It's ridiculous. They would never let guys take another beating after eight. And I feel like that's happening now. We're getting 10 earned runs. So, man, with those numbers, a guy could put up a tremendous negative week.
You got to get up to 10 to be able to put that position player in now. So.
I don't know. Again, it really aggravates me. I know I don't know why they don't just add a player to the roster. If you're worried about like health and stuff, you'd think the union would be behind this too, because it's like extra jobs, but they just seem very hard headed in a lot of their attempts, you know, like a traditionalist thing. Maybe That's what it is, but yeah, I think every team could probably just use another pitcher if that's the case.
So I've got some strategy questions for best ball, Johnny. And my first one is, how do you balance taking shots in a best ball? It's 50 rounds, you know, so you're going to want to take some shots in there versus staying up with that ABs and innings pitched and knowing, you know, I know I'm going to have a shot or two to take. Do you just cap how many shots you take, or do you say I can only take them at the end? Or what do you do there in terms of like reaching on an unknown player or a guy coming off an injury or something like that?
Yeah, real quick. High stakes, like whether, because you're kind of saying you don't like the NFBC, but keep this in mind of Bogman's question to a high stakes approach, be it on NFBC or not.
Yeah, in leagues without replacement, meaning without waivers and fab and stuff, you can have all those guys. You can have all the rookies. You can have all the import players. That's not my style because I don't know what we're going to get. We don't know.
You just eliminate them pretty much. You off of your list.
If my starting lineup is filled out now, we could get a little adventurous. Okay. I think that's the time. Although I'm into buying people's trash from last year. I guess that's not like a new thing, but give me the guy that everyone was probably a little too high on that totally disappointed that now they overcorrect for. Like, who's on every team? Oscar Colas is on every single one of my team. It is getting hard to draft this guy towards the end of last year's opening day. Now you can't, nobody wants a guy and he's a starter. He's going to play every day. And he's not any different than he was when you loved him, except now he has a little bit of experience. People are just unhappy with the way the small sample shook out. Well, if the small sample shaking out poorly means he's going to drop 200 spots, that's where I want to take my shots. To expand on taking shots, or maybe how to work the back end, you want volatile players in basketball, or I do at least. Like this would show my age a little bit. It's like the Justin Upton rule, you know, where you don't really want steady Eddies. You want Nelson Velasquez. You want a guy that can go and rip 9 home runs in a week because that's a scoring week. Like, you got to remember, because I have a point background, there are going to be players that hang like 10 or 12 every single week. And when you look back, you go, wow, he was SS, he was shortstop 13. But in best ball, he might not have given you any scores or very minimal amount of scores because the computer optimizes. So it's not a marathon. It's a series of sprints that are kind of jammed together.
So NFBC best ball, Ellie De La Cruz might be even more of a more enticing because they boosted up the stolen bases.
Yep. He gets hot. He carries that whole
and his he singularly.
All the guys that I don't want in redraft are best ball, heroes. These guys,
it's all Ricky Bobby guys. Players for Johnny. I
but
see.
That's to me, again, with overalls, you got to keep your, you want to win it. And it's not to say like, oh, you win by taking YOLO shot after YOLO shot. But you
know you when
win
to take
with
them.
Impactful players, right? And not, right, yeah, it's just a matter of volatility. You know, you want players with big upside to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Pitchers, big strikeouts. Again, I probably wouldn't be drafting any relievers because I don't think there's a pitching designation. I don't think there's an RP designation. They're trying to tantalize you with that 8-point save. The distance for the outs is not there. The innings and the strikeouts are not there. I would not draft any relievers. Almost, it would have to be an extraordinary circumstance. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, do you ever vary your approach to a best ball team depending on like what spot you got? Will you just say, you know, I'm on the end, so it's a different strategy? Yeah. Or maybe I've tried this more balanced approach with this team? Or is it I do my plan regardless of where I
pick? I just want good players on good teams. I want good players on good teams.
That's great. You know, great analysis.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's true. Right. There's also because I have all the spreadsheet analytical stuff going on. I know he's a Hall of Fame super player, but like Casey Cha was always known for having culled the player field down. I'm like, that's my style. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, that's how I do. There's very few players I will draft. That kept in mind, I open it up a little bit to volatile players. Like, I'm not going to have Ellie De La Cruz in any redraft. I'm not going to have O'Neill Cruz or Jazz Chisholm on any redraft team. But those are guys that fit in that kind of Venn diagram of in the middle of like, man, he doesn't have to play all year because in the 12 weeks he plays, you might get 9 scores, right? You see, I keep going back to that because that's what matters. It really is what matters. Some of these boring guys are just not going to do it.
All right. So best balls, good strategy stuff there. Let's talk about the final bad boy on here. Let's talk about the main event. I'm going to ask you to do something that no one will ever do. Every person, every
That's
time
what
we ever,
fans is for.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well then we're going to charge for this episode extra. Every time we've had somebody on that talks about high stakes, it happens in multiple sports too. Everybody gets close to the vest. No one wants to ever share anything.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.